it's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
It's time for today's Lucky Land horoscope with Victoria Cash.
Life's gotten mundane, so shake up the daily routine and be adventurous with a trip to Lucky Land. You know what they say, your chance to win starts with a spin. So go to LuckyLandSlots.com to play over 100 social casino-style games for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Get lucky today at LuckyLandSlots.com.
Available to players in the U.S., excluding Washington and Michigan. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Welcome to Brewcast from Mason Brew on the SB Nation Podcast Network. Back with you again, Luke Giardi here, along with Anthony Broom and Chris Castellani here with you on Monday as we head into Tuesday. And some big news that dropped here today. We'll get into that a little bit. Anthony, he's got firsthand knowledge. He was on a conference call with Isaiah Livers earlier today, so we'll get all into that. But how you guys doing, man? How'd you hold up last week after we had our kind of different Brewcast show that we did on Monday?
Yeah. All right. Everything is steady. Everything kind of sucks, as we've talked about several times.
It really does.
This is horrible. I don't know what else to say. I'm not going to sugarcoat it. Hanging in there is basically all I can really say. I mean, I've been watching a ton of movies, been catching up on a lot of shows. You know, I think I may have even said this during our little mental health break episode last week, was, you know, none of the good things that we've had or that we want to have when all this is done are owed to us. So those are privileges. Those are privileges that, you know, I look forward to getting back at some point, because we will get through all of this. And just kind of hanging in there, doing the best we can. You know, I saw someone post this on Facebook before we got on here. We don't have to psych ourselves out, get anxious about lasting through April 30th or whenever these restrictions last through. We just have to wake up and get through today, own today, conquer today. And that's kind of a mindset I've been taking through all this. So one day at a time, I feel like things are in a pretty decent place. And there's been personal stuff on my end that things are starting to somewhat return to normal on, though what is even normal these days. But we're trucking along.
Yeah, same here, man. Everything continues to be very, very strange. I'll say this. It's been interesting being on social media these last couple weeks and seeing the inventive or different ways that content creators, whether it be people on Twitter, whether it be late night talk show hosts, have tried to find ways to improvise with so many outlets being taken from them. And I think we've even seen that on our side. I really dig what some of the stuff that Mason Brew's been putting out lately. So I'm proud to be a part of this. It's just a strange time, man. And now, thankfully, and we talked about this a little bit before the show, it's nice that over these last couple days or so, Michigan basketball, despite obviously not being able to play any games, has provided us with a little bit of content here that we could sink our teeth into. I think that this is we have some interesting stuff to discuss regarding what this team may potentially look like in the future.
We do have the news that broke here today. Probably the most pressing and important news for the future of Michigan basketball is Isaiah Livers entering his name into the NBA draft. He is doing it without an agent. We don't know if he's received a convite invite. I'm pretty sure. I've not seen that information anywhere. But Anthony, you were on the conference call with him earlier today. How did that go? What are some takeaways that you had from that call?
Yeah, Mr. Exclusive over here. Thanks for the build-up. Yes. Listen, I think it's with these new rules where you can, new within the last few years, it's not new exclusive to this year, but you're able to, well, this is kind of, and I all kind of summarized it in a tweet, and it was basically Isaiah Livers said he was going to test the waters after this season no matter what. It was his junior year. Why wouldn't you go to the advisory board and get feedback? That's what the advisory board is there for. With the rules, and I'll get back to you guys on specifics on dates and things like that, but he's not hiring an agent, so he's not bound to any of that stuff. But you know, there is a scenario where if he gets a combine invite and then doesn't get drafted, he can come back to school anyways. So from Livers' point of view, it was a very open-minded, this wasn't a guy that sounded like he was set one way or another. He's playing with house money at the moment. He's cool with either college or the NBA. He's not going to rush to make a decision. He says he'll go right up until the June 3rd deadline, if that's what it takes. He doesn't have a range. You know, people ask, well, is there a range you want to get drafted by? He's like, honestly, if one team tells me they'll draft me, yeah, it probably makes my decision a little bit easier to go pro, but I want to keep my, both doors wide open. I'd love to be able to come back to college too, because I do think the idea of him being a veteran leader on a very young team next year is enticing to him. So that's kind of the long and the short of it. I think that, like I said, you're going to, decisions like this, and it was a press release that the school put out, with these rules that they have in place now, these are going to be more commonplace now than they ever have ever been, especially when you come from a school like Michigan. You're going to get used to seeing these decisions over the next couple, however many years Juwan Howard's here, assuming that he recruits at the level that he has been. He's going to exhaust all of his resources. He's going to get good feedback. Michigan's not pushing him away. It doesn't sound like his parents, his family are pushing him in a particular direction. It's just, let the cards fall where they may. Now, where the complications might arise is it's going to be a lot harder to test in front of teams right now when none of us can really go anywhere. So that's kind of where, I think the pre-draft process is going to be a little more difficult on him to improve his stock, because you look at draft boards right now, and he's not on – I don't think I've seen him in any mock drafts. I'll start looking more than out of these throwing his name in the mix, but without the opportunity to truly showcase yourself, and again, this is a guy who hasn't even picked up a basketball since they got back from Indianapolis and warming up against Rutgers for a game that they never wound up playing. So it's complicated, but that was the long and the short of the decision that was made.
Yeah, I was going to go back to a point that Luke brought up about how, he hasn't no word on whether or not he's going to be invited to the combine. We don't know if there's going to be a combine right now, which I don't know if that would hurt or help Livers' status. I'm not as familiar with how teams go about drafting players in the NBA the way they do in the NFL. The NFL has some very strange has a very strange system involving, the interview process, and if you're a quarterback, stuff like the Wunderlich test. So I don't know how much sit-down interviews they do with these players, but it's one of those times where I think if that is a key piece of this, I think Isaiah Livers' draft stock will be greatly improved, because this guy is, I mean, he's kind of an A-plus character guy, really. I mean, even, I don't know if it was his decision, but to do the conference call today, talking with journalists and bloggers, the guy's, he is a very smart guy. Seems like a guy who could be a coach one day. You know, I think we would all love to see Isaiah Livers come back for one more year. And if there is one thing about this process that makes it a bit more interesting than some of the other ones, is I look, Isaiah Livers loves being at Michigan. He loves Michigan to death. And I think the way he's handled himself on and off the court in these first 3 years has been remarkably admirable. I mean, as likable a guy as we've seen ever in Michigan basketball, quite honestly. And they've had some great ones. But I do think it's a more interesting process than most, because unlike some of the other ones, I truly don't know if Isaiah Livers is going to be in the NBA next year, if he's going to come back to Michigan. I really don't, because he loves being here. I think that when we heard Jordan Poole was going, we had a pretty good idea he was going to pull the string and go to the NBA. Same with Brad Stakis, definitely the same with Charles Matthews. I don't know with Livers, and I think it's going to come down to how he performs at the Combine, if he gets an invite, how he does in pre-draft interviews. This is going to be an intriguing process that I think is definitely going to come down to the wire here. Livers also, there's many factors that I'm sure went into his decision. This is also a guy who this year dealt with a fair amount of injuries. The NBA is, or college basketball has this weird thing where you're almost, you know, kind of snake bitten, it seems. If you play for 4 years, NBA teams almost seem to frown upon that. So this is going to be a really enticing decision for him. And I think I can speak for all of us when we say that it wouldn't, as much as we would love to see him back, our feelings towards Livers as a whole won't change if he makes the decision to go to the league. He's been a great representative of this program for his first 3 years here.
Well, kind of the dark horse information that is going to be very paramount, I think, in this decision when he goes to the advisory board and he talks to NBA teams, is how much they think he can improve his draft stock if he returns to college.
Right.
Because if they don't think that he has a lot that he can improve on in his senior season, there's a good chance he's going to make the jump, because you're going to want to start, like Chris said. They frown upon you coming into the league, you know, being older. They like to develop you themselves. So if they don't think that you can really get better and improve that draft stock in a year, I'd imagine he's probably going to head to the NBA. But we don't know. And there's also, you know, what is his draft number going to look like? I know he said if one NBA team says they'll take him, it might make his decision a little easier, but when do they take him might factor into it as well, because obviously the first round picks each get guaranteed contracts, but if you fall into the second round, you're not guaranteed two seasons in the NBA. So being a first round pick is much bigger than being a second round pick when it comes to being an NBA player. So that's going to be a key factor in it as well. So there's a lot of information that he's going to gather, and I think this is a really good tool and resource, and I'm glad the NCAA has done this, because we saw two many guys get pigeonholed in the past, not being able to come back to school after they entered, maybe got some bad information and went pro and weren't able to come back to school. So I'm glad that the players get to go through this. And if they do decide to return, they know what part of their game they have to work on in order to move up in, you know, hypothetically in next year's draft and things like that. So this is a really cool thing. Isaiah Livers is doing it. I'd imagine Franz is going to do this as well.
Yeah, I get the idea or the impression. We talked with Juwan Howard, I think, on Thursday via conference call, and it seems like Franz, I wouldn't be surprised if in the next day or two or three or whatever, Franz is with family. I believe he's in D.C. with Mo and his mother, actually, right now. I think their dad went back to Germany. But I wouldn't be surprised if at some point this week we are talking about another release, and I don't know if we'll do a conference call with Franz. I kind of doubt it. We might. It's possible. But I think we'll be talking about another decision like this maybe even before midweek. So I think of the two, if we're being honest, I think that Franz might be the more likely of the two to go because of...
Really?
I do think so. I think it's going to be easier for him to get a first-round grade if that's what... if that's what he's shooting for. I certainly think that's... I think he's a... he could be a guy that maybe knocks on the door at the, you know, maybe the back half of the first round. Again, all it takes is one team. We've seen it with, you know, people for years. Who's going to take DJ Wilson? Who's going to take Caris LeVert? Who's going to take Jordan Poole? And all of those guys have landed in spots where they're doing pretty well, and the teams that took them are seem to be pretty happy with what they're getting out of them. So all it does take is one team. I think because of the length, because of the athleticism, because of the offense that continues to develop, the arrow is, I mean, we're talking about Isaiah Livers here and how important he was to this team once he was back and healthy. Franz Wagner, the last 8 to 10 games of the year, was Michigan's best player all around.
Right.
And I do think, you know, people have been asking me, where does Franz fit into next year's team? You know, would he be? I think he would be a starter. I think even with the five guys they have coming back, he'd be one of, or the guys that they will have coming back and coming in, he would be one of their best five. But I think that it's weird because I think he would probably be the one that's more likely to go pro, but Isaiah Livers might be the player that's more important to next year's team, if that makes sense. Because and the reason I say that is I think when you have this talent coming in next year, it kind of allows Livers to step back, and we saw that he's capable of taking on a load when he needs to, and that's gonna be a pretty valuable skill to have whatever he does next year wherever he's playing. But I think with the talent that they have coming in for next year's roster, it kind of allows him to step back and be a little bit more of a facilitator, a guy more of a straw that stirs the drink, as opposed to a guy where, you know, when he wasn't on the floor this year for Michigan, they were a completely different basketball team. I just think that his versatility, the ability to play the three or the four, the athleticism, you know, he's a 50-40-90 guy, or at least he was trending that way before the season was abruptly cut short. I just that's kind of how I see things playing out right now. I'm not going to be surprised if both of them leave. I wouldn't be surprised if both of them stay, which makes, you know, that makes the roster crunch even more interesting, considering that Adrian Nunez is apparently coming back, and we already know that Austin Davis is coming back. So where do the spots come from there? I don't know.
It makes me think that Juwan might have the expectation that believing both these guys are going to go. Because like you said, the scholarship situation right now is very strange. What are they, three over currently, two over?
As of now, they're one over. If/when Josh Christopher commits, which I think is going to happen at some point, I do think they'll only need that one spot. Now that Shaka Smart has kind of been not re-upped at Texas, but he's not going anywhere, I kind of think that puts them back into the driver's seat pretty firmly for Greg Brown. So it really is that one guy that's left, and Josh Christopher, and I think Michigan will get him. So that put him two over. Now the question becomes, does Isaiah Todd sign? Is there going to be a surprise transfer from somewhere? Those are, you know, does Jace Howard wind up just being a walk-on? For now, the plan is to have him on scholarship. So those are all things that I think Juwan Howard probably sees as a good problem to have. And it is. I mean, you're talking about having room for talented basketball players and, you know, the ability to maybe go 9 to 10 deep next year. That would be pretty, you know, I think Juwan Howard would love to have that problem. I don't think anyone's going to get the boot, but, you know, we'll see what happens. Like, it's not going to be where someone gets cut loose. I don't get the idea right that Juwan Howard's that type of guy. So,
Well, I'm pretty sure there's also ramifications for that. You can't just, since the NCAA, if I remember correctly, you know, when there was the crusade kind of against the NCAA and the way they treat the scholarship athletes when the Ed O'Bannon case was going on, I'm pretty sure they switched the scholarships from year to year to 4 years guaranteed. So I'm pretty sure you can't just take away somebody's scholarship like you used to be able to in the past. So that does make things a little more difficult. And were you guys surprised with the Nunez thing? I was a little bit surprised because I don't think he really has much of a chance to see in the floor the next 2 years.
I'll let you go first, Chris.
Okay. Yes and no. I think as fans, sometimes we live under the assumption that if a guy is struggling on the floor, that means that he may be unhappy in the situation. Now, you know, typically when you play college basketball, you believe that you're you want to get as much playing time as you can. He struggled this year a lot, and he was given, I think, more opportunities than even most of us expected him to. I mean, he started very early in the season when Wagner was injured, made little to no impact on the team. Obviously, some of those were kind of garbage games, but still, I mean, zero impression. The little bit of playing time he would get throughout the conference season, he struggled. And I am happy anytime someone at the University of Michigan, even someone who struggled, has said, you know, I'm going to stick with this. I think a lot of us, for you know, thought that Xavier Simpson, after his freshman year, might be a guy who might be looking into transferring with the way he struggled. He didn't, and he turned out to be an awesome point guard for this university. So, yeah, right now I'd be stunned if Adrian Nunez is getting regular minutes in the rotation next year. And I was a bit surprised by the news, but I give him credit for having the belief in himself and having the belief that what Juwan's creating here is the right direction for him and for this program. So definitely a bit of a stunner, but good for him.
Yeah, I mean, what I'll say on the situation is I think that I'm not going to tell fans how to be fans, but I will say the overarching takeaway when a guy says he's going to, you know, every time a football player transfers, it's those who stay will be champions. You see it tweeted out a million times. I root for, you know, I don't think people should root for guys wanting to wear the uniform with that name on the front. If Adrian Nunez comes back, yeah, he's probably, we'll call it what it is, he's probably the 12th, 13th, 14th guy on the bench next year, or on the roster. Okay, that is what it is. I'm not going to hold that against him. I'm not going to hold that against Michigan. That's a guy who wants to play there and who sees an opportunity there. And you know, just because you're not playing, like, some people assume that just because someone's not playing that they're, that they're going to selfishly go look for more playing time elsewhere. Some guys are just cool in their situation. I have no issue with that. And I do think that there are some things that Adrian Nunez needs to improve. And I think that he does have a good looking shot, but a lot of them just don't go down. I think defensively, he certainly needs to improve. He was a little bit of a liability when he was out there. But, you know, maybe he feels like, hey, I feel like that. I don't know if I could go somewhere and play under another staff that's going to get that out of me. Maybe he thinks that they can help him improve in those areas. And that's awesome. Good for him. I mean, it's not, I don't think it affects the ceiling for next year's team. I just, you know, if all these guys are going to come, attrition is going to happen somewhere. And these are questions that are being answered right now is where is it going to come? Like I said, I think you're probably going to get one of these guys going pro. If both of them go pro, you have your two spots, then don't you? If one of them goes pro, someone's probably going to transfer out. You know, it's, you know, right now, let's make one thing clear here. It was a report from, I believe, Brennan Quinn of The Athletic and Josh Henschke, our buddy from the Michigan Insider, from, you know, sources or parents, what have you. There could still be a situation where maybe minds get changed. And, you know, we're all day-to-day right now with what's going on in the world. You know, Austin Davis, who knows if he was invited back for a fifth year. What if he changed his mind and decided to leave? Like, what if there's all kinds, you can go up and down the roster and all around the commits and see what kind of the what ifs are. What if a surprise guy transfers, like David DeJulius or Brandon Johns, or, you know, something like that? Like, there are things. Michigan was pretty, I'll wrap it up by this. Michigan was pretty lucky in that in the coaching change last year, they really didn't have any attrition. They lost the kid to Kansas. But other than that, they still got Bajema. They got Franz Wagner. It was pretty much all hands on deck. So, in, you know, maybe there might be a surprise thing that comes this offseason. So who's to say? But I wouldn't worry too much about the guys that say they're coming back. It's not your problem to figure out. It's not the player's problem to figure out. Juwan Howard's being paid a pretty handsome sum some to make those decisions. So put it in his hands.
And yeah, I agree. And I'll get the, I guess, the last word in on this is there's, you know, he's only a sophomore, right? Nunez?
Yeah, he'll be a junior next year.
Right. So, I mean, he could still transfer, if not this year. I mean, he might think he has a shot at something this year. Maybe he'll improve a ton, and maybe he will be in the rotation next year, but you would think he probably won't be. But yeah, I mean, he could very much transfer again, too. Like you said, as reliable as those sources are with Quinn and Josh, things change. And, you know, I think it was his mother who said he's not transferring, but you're definitely correct in that assumption that, especially with as crazy and as unpredictable as things are right now, I think it's kind of hard for people to kind of have clear minds. So it wouldn't surprise me at all if in the next couple of weeks or months, you know, he kind of changes his tune and does decide to transfer.
I feel like you guys kind of took my thing out of context there. I wasn't trying to bash Adrian Nunez.
I was more hedging against some of the people on social media who are like, oh God, why would he even come back?
Same here. Yeah,
It wasn't a shot at you at all.
Yeah, that's never a thing that you should wish on anybody. My surprising thing is that he's kind of an outlier in the culture of college sports today. And I'm not bashing the culture. I'm just recognizing it is what it is, you know. And him staying is certainly an outlier. But I respect the hell out of anyone that's willing to stay and fight for a position.
Absolutely.
And I would absolutely respect Adrian Nunez staying with Michigan and playing and fighting and competing. That is because that's not the easy way out. Let's be honest, man. That is not the easy way out, especially with the talent coming in. So if he does stay and he wants to get a degree from Michigan, all the more power to him because he's earned that right from working his whole life to being able to get a scholarship to play basketball at U of M. We do have to take a quick break, and we'll kind of wrap up the show when we come back here on Brewcast.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
It's time for today's Lucky Land horoscope with Victoria Cash.
Life's gotten mundane, so shake up the daily routine and be adventurous with a trip to Lucky Land. You know what they say. Your chance to win starts with a spin. So go to LuckyLandSlots.com to play over 100 social casino-style games for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Get lucky today at LuckyLandSlots.com.
Available to players in the U.S., excluding Washington and Michigan. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void or prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Back in on Brewcast, Luke Chiarity, Anthony Broom, and Chris Castellani as we're kind of wrapping up our basketball talk here, maybe crystal balling a little bit into the future as we talked about Isaiah Livers and Adrian Nunez and maybe some other things that could happen with this basketball program. And my question to you is I want to shift it a little bit here, guys, because we're not getting spring football here this year. Anthony, I don't know if you've heard anything. Chris, I don't know if you've seen anything. Is there any worry about potential setbacks when it comes to the college football season this year?
I think I don't have any inside information to say that. I am working on a piece for later in the week that is how all of this and no spring football might affect Michigan's position battles, namely, you know, just briefly quarterback, for example. I think this shifts if we do have a college football season, which I think we will. I think that I'd probably bet pretty heavy now that it winds up being Dylan McCaffrey at quarterback because he simply just has more snaps at this point.
It's a good point.
It's going to come down to kind of some of these position battles, and you know, because there's going to be a camp, and it might be 2-3 weeks, it might be 4 weeks, who knows? But and things can change quickly, but. Yeah, I really was looking forward to seeing what Joe Milton did with spring practices, and because, you know, to my knowledge, I mean, some of these guys may be working out privately, but no one's throwing a football right now. Nobody's dribbling a basketball right now, for the most part. I mean, guys aren't hitting the batting cages, like this is affecting everyone. This probably, when you look at Michigan's position battles, I think it probably shifts the odds pretty heavily in favor of the upperclassmen or the more experienced guys for some of those spots that are up for grabs. So like I said, anyone who asks me who I think is going to win the quarterback battle now, it's almost sort of a no-brainer to me that it winds up being Dylan McCaffrey, at least going into camp, just because of the leg up. On the question of will we have college football, I think we're going to have a season. I don't know if it's going to be moved up. I don't know if it's going to be pushed back. I don't know if there will be fans involved, which would obviously be a pretty big deal as well. I mean, we love a lot of the reason why we love college football and college sports is because of the traditions and the pageantry and all that. But I don't know how in the span of a few months. And again, it's not even we're barely turning the page to April here. But these COVID restrictions are going to be in place for a while. I don't expect to see any sports until June at the earliest. And to go from that, it's not going to go, you know, my understanding of this, just I'm trying to keep abreast of the COVID and the restriction stuff as best I can, because obviously it affects all of us, you know, if we have an altered football season. I don't, like, you're not just going to go from, okay, we're in the clear, snap your fingers, and then everyone's allowed to go to bars and restaurants. I think it will be probably a gradually, you know, okay, gatherings up to 50 people, gatherings up to 100 people, and I think we'll peel things back. Again, right now, everyone's kind of in the data collecting phase, finding out which areas are kind of hot spots. Unfortunately, the area that we're, you know, Michigan is kind of a hot spot right now, namely the Detroit area, which is just obviously a hop, skip, and a jump away from Ann Arbor. So I think things might be restricted here a little longer than other places. It's going to be pretty hard to go from these stay-at-home restrictions to, okay, now 115,000 people can sit ass-cheek to ass-cheek on these metal bleachers to watch a football game. I don't know what that timeline looks like. I think we'll get football. I think there's a chance that we're going to get it maybe without fans early on, or fan restrictions that you can, so you can maintain the good social distancing. But I think we'll play football, and it certainly does have effect on what some of these position battles are. But to predict what's going to happen even before the end of this month is, I think, is kind of futile at this point.
I do have, before I say what I want to say, I do have a question, because I've heard from several people that there's a chance, a possibility. I don't know if it's actually been discussed or if it's just been something that's been brought up. The idea of moving the season up, what advantage would that have? What good would that do? Either one of you guys answer that?
No, I feel like that's going the other way, right? That was my first thought when I saw that.
That's why I'm confused.
Yeah, my thing with that is, as we're talking about the restrictions here, if you're moving the season up, then you're definitely not playing in front of fans, which is...
Right.
I feel like you wouldn't bend over backwards to make that happen. You know what I mean?
Right.
Yeah,
yes.
It makes, I don't know, it just never made sense to me why they would try to play games in July instead, or June and July or something like that. Like, no, this is going to take time to sort out. The further sports down the road are more likely to play than the other sports. So I'm with you, Chris. That didn't make any sense to me. I kind of put it out of my mind. I kind of shrugged it off, like, as soon as I read it, because I thought it was ridiculous. But of course, I guess I didn't see the source. They could know a lot more than me, too, you know, at the same time. Yeah. It just logically did make sense to me.
And like you said, Luke, it is ridiculous, but the world we're living in right now is ridiculous. So nothing.
We are in the dumbest timeline for sure.
Nothing would shock me at this point. I will say, like, I can't speak on what the situation is going to be like regarding how this college football season goes down. I think I can say with abundant confidence, I think I can speak for all of us too, the college football we're used to seeing, which is, you know, in Ann Arbor, you know, the 100,000+ a week for the home games, you know, full coverage, Like you said, as Anthony, you put it, sitting ass cheek to ass cheek. That we will not see that in 2020. I can say that with a lot of confidence. Things will be dramatically changed. And I think in general, for anyone listening to this, we just need to accept that the next time we get back to any sort of normalcy in sports is going to be 2021. The rest of this calendar year will be filled with a whole lot of WTFs in the sports world. I mean, that's already been discussed, the possibility, and it seems like it's kind of likely now. We're going to see baseball games over Thanksgiving. We're going to see World Series games potentially played at neutral sites with no fans. People are going to have to get really creative here just to make sure that we have sports in the near future. And like I said, I can't speak on what it's going to look like, but I think it's about time we accept that the typical college football season is not something that we're going to see in 2020. And as disappointing as it is, I can't help but admit, maybe I'm just kind of getting used to the weirdness. I'm kind of intrigued. I'm kind of super interested to see what it's going to look like for two reasons. One, I mean, we're going to get it in some capacity, which is just nice because we're getting nothing right now. And two, it's just going to be weird, man. This whole thing is going to get so strange going forward to see how a college football season, which is, I mean, there every Saturday, there's no bigger gathering, mass gathering than college football. So it's going to be a strange time in the sports world. And I am admittedly looking forward to seeing how this is going to shape up.
Yeah, my thing too is that I don't know. Again, it's all going to be about, you know, what the data shows. Is this curve being flattened, so to speak? I don't even know when they're going to bring kids back on campus, not only from different parts of the country, but, you know, there are students from all over the world that, you know, come spend their college experience at the University of Michigan. I don't know when it's going to be safe to do that. I'm not going to go too deep down this rabbit hole, but if anyone's been following the stuff with what Jerry Falwell Jr. has had happen down at Liberty University, bringing kids back on a campus around all this, and then by the end of the week, they had maybe 12 confirmed or likely coronavirus cases. I don't know when it's going to be responsible to do that and to bring people back on campus. I don't know. It's going to be weird. I mean, we are, again, we are living in a historic time. We are going to be a chapter in our kids, our grandkids, our great-grandkids, everyone's history books for the rest of time. And, you know, right now, for as much as we would love sports, anything, I don't know. It's just so hard to predict the future. I know last week John Calipari made a comment about, you know, Michigan and Kentucky are supposed to go to London in December and play a basketball game. And that's kind of up in the air right now. And people are like, oh, that's too much. Why are you looking that far ahead? Well, when you're talking about international travel and planning the logistics of that, that's probably something they need to have worked out sometime this summer, probably June. Michigan hasn't heard anything about what John Calipari was alluding to, and there might be a meeting in May to discuss what the next or in June, I'm sorry, to discuss what those next steps are. But people just kind of need to wrap their heads around the fact that there is no more going back to what our normal was before. And it's not, you know, it's not a scary thing. It's not like, you know, 4 months from now we're going to be podcasting from a warehouse, you know, with AKs strapped to our chest so no one barges in and steals our supplies. This is not that, but this is just our new normal, and we'll get through it. We and our kids will probably be toting the bill for this, for sure. It's affecting a lot of people, and you know, I'm trying to be empathetic to that, but like I said, as much as we want sports back, it just doesn't seem all that important right now.
Yeah, well said, Anthony. I think that's a good place to leave it right there. So, Chris, where can we find you on social media?
Oh, you can find me on Twitter at Castellani2014. That's at CastellaNi2014. I have my show, Locked On Tigers, my other podcast that you can follow there at Locked On Tigers. You know, got to get creative with content right now with sports not going on. So you're going to be seeing a lot of randomness coming from my Twitter feed that you probably aren't typically used to seeing. And I think it's kind of like that all across the world. And as well, I mean, I don't see myself posting a lot of pictures going forward. But if you want to see me updating my stories, at least on Instagram, you can follow me there. Chris Castle 95. That's ChrisCastle95. Please follow me on all those platforms.
Anthony, where can we find you?
You can find me in my kitchen right after I stop recording, probably drinking alcohol. Right. You can also find me. You can find me on Twitter at Anthony T. Broom. Follow the website at Maze and Brew. You can get our shows wherever you get your content. It's there for you now. A lot of you guys are working from home, looking for something to listen to during the day. Try to pick your spirits up with sports, and then we kind of tear it down with the state of the world. But also, Chris and I recorded a commentary track for Star Wars The Rise of Skywalker that turned out pretty awesome. I don't know if I'd recommend it if it's your first or second viewing, but if you're looking for something to, as a maybe a secondary experience to watching the movie, that's also in the podcast feed here. So I had a lot of fun doing that, talking about doing something like that again moving forward. So let us know, and we'll just keep on keeping on.
You can find me on Twitter at Luke Ghiardi, LukeGhiardi. Make sure to follow the Brewcast Show page at Brewcast Show on Twitter as well. And subscribe and leave a review for all of our shows and content where you get your podcasts by searching Mason Brew Podcast on Apple, Google, Spotify, and more. So for Chris Castellani, for Anthony Broom, I'm Luke Ghiardi. We'll see you next week on Brewcast.